Good evening, everyone. It's time to take charge of your life. Hello, this is marriage and family therapist Eleanor Barbaro, your host, inviting you to take charge of your life on WDIY. The theme of this program is that so many events in life happen to us over which we have no control. Our only control is our response to life's situations. It is often said that 90% of life's events happen to us, and 10% is what we make happen. This evening, we talk about what is the best kind of gift to give a loving partner, a family member, for Valentine's Day. Should we give flowers, candy, a night out on the town, a dinner? My guest this evening offers a different way of giving our loved ones and our community a different kind of Valentine. He suggests a complaint-free world and has written a book on that subject, A Complaint-Free World, How to Stop Complaining and Start Enjoying the Life You Always Wanted. This evening, we talk about how to give our partner and loved ones a gift that says we will learn how to stop complaining and enjoy life. Tell us a little bit about yourself and how you came to write this very special book.
Well, about 6 years ago, Ellie, I was handing out these complaint-free bracelets. I was doing a series on prosperity. I find that most people say they want more in their lives. They want to be more prosperous, but they spend all their time complaining about what they have. So it makes no sense. You can't attract to you when you are negatively focused. So I had this idea of handing out these complaint-free bracelets. And the idea is to, every time you catch yourself complaining, you take the bracelet off one wrist and you switch it to the other wrist until you go 21 consecutive days. I handed out 250 bracelets one day, and the idea just exploded around the world. And to date, we have sent out 10 million bracelets to 106 countries. I wrote a book about the impact of complaining called The Complaint-Free World, which you mentioned. And it has just come out now in paperback, revised and expanded, and it has sold about 2 million copies in 16 countries around the world.
Well, that is amazing. I looked at the book, and I think it is absolutely wonderful, and it adds so much to our lives if we can absorb the principles. And I think that I know that I was talking to somebody in the studio, and I talked about the fact that I was going to interview you on A Complaint-Free World, and her response was, boy, I'd like to have at least an hour of freedom from complaint. And I think I think many of us view life that way. And so the question is, how, Will Bowen, do we go about organizing our lives, our thinking, so that we can, number one, participate in a complaint-free world, free of complaining ourselves, and also elicit complaint freedom from other people?
Wow, those are some big questions. The first thing is, we are immersed in a culture of negativity. Most of us don't realize it. We call it reality. We call it the truth. When in true reality, what it is a culture of negativity, is focusing on what is wrong. All you need to do is look at the news and notice how much of it is negative. The other day, someone was referencing a news program when talking to me, and I said, well, I don't watch the news. And the woman looked at me like I was insane, and I said, no, I choose to be happy. And she said, well, you can be happy and well-informed at the same time. And I said, no, you can't, because what is called the news is there to get us energetically upset so we continue to watch the news. And I say this as a person with a broadcasting background. What we need to do is first realize that we live in a culture of negativity. We live in a culture of complaining. Most people complain on average 15 to 30 times a day and have absolutely no awareness they're doing it. So what we've got to do is first become aware of our complaints, and that's the idea behind the complaint-free bracelet. It's a tool. It's not something that you wear to tell the world you support a complaint-free world. It's something so that you catch yourself complaining and you switch the bracelet to the other wrist to monitor what day you're on, to try and go 21 consecutive days. most of us have no idea we're complaining. I like to say complaining is like bad breath. You notice it when it comes out of somebody else's mouth, but not when it comes out of our own.
That's a good concept. You know, that's true. I think most people have grown up with, complaints from our parents, and we become complaining parents ourselves. We have complaints from our children who are growing up about the children, about their peer group, and all kinds of things. We are used to living in a society that complains. So the question, Will Bowen, is, how do we get ourselves out of it? Because many of us have our complaining going on in our heads all the time, and we don't even know that we're doing it.
Right. Well, the thing is about what is going on in your head, that is that relentless commentary from the ego. And the ego is always going to do that. But the thing is, did you see the movie The Life of Pi?
Not yet.
Okay, I highly recommend it. It's about a young man who gets stranded on a lifeboat for 277 days with a live Bengal tiger. Now, during the process, he has to try and keep himself alive while the tiger is always trying to eat him. And there is that balance. And at the end of the movie, he thanks the tiger for saving his life, because by fighting the tiger, he literally saved his life. We have inside of us this Bengal tiger, this ego that is always raging. And people say to me, they're going to just change their thoughts. And I say, well, good luck with that, because you think on average 60,000 thoughts every day. The best thing we can do is instead change what comes out of our mouth. If we change what comes out of our mouth, what happens in our minds will begin to change. And that's why this idea of not complaining. And let me start at the beginning here, because people will hear this a lot of times and think, you say don't complain, you must just be saying shut up and suck up whatever the world is sending your way. Nothing could be further from the truth. What I'm inviting people to do is practice healthy communication skills. Looking at this from the concept of Valentine's Day, what most people do is, if they have an issue with their spouse or their boyfriend or girlfriend, they complain to their friends instead of talking directly and only to that person. So it's not complaining if you speak directly and only to the person who can affect the change that you seek. Now, that is not licensed to turn around and nitpick the other person, to really go after the other person. Rather, it's an invitation to talk to the person, give your perspective, and then allow the relationship to become all that it can be.
And if you've just tuned in, you're listening to Take Charge of Your Life. And this evening, I'm talking with Will Bowen, who is the author of A Complaint-Free World. And that is my Valentine's gift to the community. And how do we change our world one day at a time, our own personal worlds one day at a time, by developing a complaint-free world. And Will Bowen, you were just talking about the fact that many people complain to a friend about their spouse, but they don't bring it up with their spouse in ways that the spouse can hear it. And how
Absolutely.
Do we...
And, well, I was going to say, not only that, when they do that, they perpetuate the person being a certain way in the relationship. Studies have found that how you look at someone, how you think about someone, impacts on an energetic level how that person reacts and responds to you. And so that person then begins to live up or to live down to your expectations, your beliefs about them. There's a group of women I know here in Kansas City. They get together every week in what they call group therapy. Group therapy for them is going to a Mexican restaurant and drinking lots of margaritas and complaining about the men in their lives. And the concept that I hear them report is that all men are dogs. And I said to one of them, I said, you know what, if you've just spent 2 hours with your friends complaining that all men are dogs, it's not surprising that you see Old Yeller sitting in the Lazy Boy when you get home.
So that we are conditioning ourselves, that our talk is really creating a frame of mind that we're unable to see our partner for who they really are. But we have really conditioned our minds and our thinking by seeing not our partner, but a dog in the chair.
Exactly.
Now, how can we go about changing that? Because it seems to be involved in our in our thinking, in our way of being. It's involved in our society, as you pointed out, from the news that we see, from the friends that we have, and the way that we go about communicating with each other, rather than really sharing with our partners what we really need and want. How do we go about changing that?
Well, the first thing, as I say, you've got to realize that it's going on, that you're looking at your relationship and you're thinking to yourself, well, this is bad and this is an issue and this is a problem and she is doing this or he is doing that. And in reality, you need to look at it and to realize that it's your perspective. So you've got to own a relationship is 100% and 100%. People always say it's 50-50. It's not. It's 100% and 100%. It's 100% the perspective of one person, and that person lives in their relationship. The other person has 100% perspective, and they live in their relationship. So the relationship that a man has with his wife is not the same as the relationship the wife has with the man. It all comes down to perspective. We are the epicenter that our lives flow from. We need to change how we see that other person. And it comes from a decision to do so. To realize, to own the fact that we are the ones who are describing that person in our mind and in our words as that kind of person, and to make an absolute commitment that we're not going to go around and tell other people about the challenges we have. There is this, I guess I would call it a sickness in our culture.
WDIY reaches a well-informed and passionate listening audience every day. Enhance your image with our community by becoming an underwriting supporter. Spread the word about your business in an uncluttered atmosphere of high-quality NPR and locally produced programming. Underwriting is an affordable way to reach the public radio audience, and it may be tax-deductible. To learn more, call 610-694-8100 extension 4 or visit wdiy.org.
Welcome back to Take Charge of Your Life. Hello, this is Eleanor Bobrow, your host. And this evening we're talking with Will Bowen, the author of A Complaint-Free World, and how to give our partners and loved ones a complaint-free world for Valentine's Day. Will Bowen, you mentioned in your book there are five things we should be aware of that make up the reasons that we complain. Would you like to share that with us?
Sure. I think that as you look at yourself complaining or other people complaining, you'll find that people complain for one of five reasons. Dr. Robin Kowalski at Clemson University actually discerned this. And in my years of speaking to people around the world and working with organizations, I have found that it holds true, especially in relationships. The acronym that I created to help remember the five reasons is GRIPE, G-R-I-P-E.
Sounds good.
So people complain to G, get attention. A lot of times people in a relationship will come home and they will gripe just to get connected with the other person. They will save all the bad things that happened that day as a way of connecting with their spouse or their partner. I know of a gentleman who's a police officer in New Mexico, and he sent me an email that he and his wife were kissing a lot more. And as they looked at it, they realized that he used to come in the door griping about work all day, and then that sort of set a negative tone. And he then came in and no longer complained, but found things that went well, that made them feel warmer and more affectionate towards one another, and so they were more romantic. So the G in the acronym GRIPE stands for get attention. The other reason, or the second reason, is to remove responsibility. People will complain to excuse themselves from taking responsibility for doing something. Teenagers are great at this. They will complain about they didn't get their homework done because the teacher didn't explain it right, because the computer wasn't working right, whatever. People complain to remove themselves from responsibility. The I in GRIPE stands for inspire envy, which is another way of saying to brag. People complain to brag as a way of making themselves look better than other people. A lot of times people will complain about their friends to the person they're in a relationship with as a way of saying that they don't have the particular character flaw that they're complaining about. And it's always a good idea when you hear somebody complaining to you about somebody else or gossiping or speaking negatively about somebody else to compliment the person complaining to you about the opposite. So, for example, if you're in a relationship with somebody and they're saying, you know, oh, she wears too much makeup, then you realize that what that person is asking you to do is to compliment or make her feel better about the amount of makeup she wears. Oh, and you always look so nice. I love how pretty you are and how natural you are. So what that person is doing is trying to inspire envy. That's the I in gripe. The P in gripe stands for power. People complain to have power in relationships. They have complained to have power at work. What they're saying is they want you on their side if it ever comes down to being a major conflict with another person. So, for example, somebody might complain about their sister or their cousin. And what they're saying is, if it ever comes down to me against my sister or my cousin, I want you on my side. And the E in gripe stands for excuse poor performance. People complain to excuse something they've already done and to build a case for why they couldn't have done any better. Somebody who is getting up to sing may complain that the air is dry or that the microphone wasn't working. And what they're actually doing is they're excusing their own poor performance instead of taking responsibility. So when you hear people complain, they are doing so for one of those five reasons: to get attention, remove themselves from responsibility, inspire envy or brag, have power, or to excuse the poor performance.
Now, knowing those five reasons, how do we change our own selves to respond differently? For example, in the book, there was a beautiful example of this young girl, Rose, who received a very nasty letter from from another girl in her sixth grade class. And as we all know, sixth grade can be very drama-provoking. And it was very critical that she was nasty, she never said anything nice, etc. Tell us a little bit more about Rose.
It was a really sweet letter. I've gotten these from all over the world, things like this. But this particular one really touched me. There was a young girl named Rose. She's in the sixth grade, as you say. And one of her, quote, friends, unquote, sent her a letter telling her that she was a terrible friend and listed all the reasons. And it also stated that all the other girls felt that way, and which is a very common thing. There is that complaining with power in mind. She's trying to build a coalition and explain why the other girls felt this way. And so the young girl, rather than getting upset or angry or anxious, she wrote a letter back. And in her letter, she said, I'm going to pretend I never got that letter. From now on, let's only say nice things to each other. And I really like your shoes.
That was very nice. So that was really off-putting for the girl who wrote the original letter. And it's also a way of... Rose seemed to have, at the age of 12 or going on 13, the ability to let go of her angry response and her annoying response and the ability to think positively rather than about ways of attacking.
And it's interesting, too, because it's a great reflection of all relationships. Had she responded angrily, which is what 99.9% of all people would have done, she would have just exacerbated the problem, and she would have proved the other girl's point. And so when somebody in a relationship comes to us and starts griping at us, the first thing we feel we need to do is defend ourselves. And as has often been said, a defense is a form of attack. What we need to do instead is to diffuse. And this is one of the most beautiful examples of diffusing I've ever seen.
Well, I think that was a beautiful example, and I want to talk a little bit about something else that you mentioned in the book. And perhaps many of us have heard about it. We've heard about it from different in different ways, and that is that our negative thinking and our complaining attracts negativity into our life. And that if we can learn in some way to transform the negative thinking and become aware of it and focus on the positive, somehow or other, we attract positive energy and positive things into our life. For example, if a person is out of work and is in searching for ways to get new income and becomes down on themselves, somehow or other, the more down they become, the more desperate they become, and things go very, very poorly. It's like the negative creates a negative environment. And if they can possibly turn their thinking around, it's possible that they can invite positive energy and maybe the offer of a new job or new possibilities. What do you say to that?
Absolutely. I mean, I was doing a speech yesterday, and I've done this all over the world, and the response is always the same. I ask people, I say, raise your hand if you have ever gotten in your car to drive somewhere and you've ended up driving somewhere else. And everybody raises their hand. And I said, Nate, the reason that you did that was you were thinking of the other place. You may have had the intention of driving to the store, and instead you drove to work because you're thinking about work. And halfway there, you realize and you turn around, look, you're driving to the store. Our thoughts create our lives. Our thoughts take us where we're going, but our words indicate what we're thinking. And there is so much on thinking positively. Again, that is a huge lion to tame or a huge tiger to tame. Because we think so much and because the thoughts are in our heads and they're so hard to disassociate from ourselves, if we can instead change our words, and that's what the Complaint Free program does, is every time you catch yourself complaining, you switch the bracelet to the other wrist until you got 21 days without complaining. What we found is that even people who don't make it to complete 21 days, halfway through or even a third of the way, they find that they are much happier. Because if they're watching every word that comes out of their mouth so as not to complain, they literally then begin to look for things that are positive to think about, and it shifts their thinking.
And the idea then is if we become aware, I think that's a big word, become aware of our negativity and our negative thinking, then we become more conscious of our thoughts. And the bracelet makes us become aware of our thinking. It causes us to really give pause and say, and really catch ourselves like, oh, I did it. And to switch the bracelet. So that becomes a conscious effort and makes us conscious of our negative thinking. Sometimes we're not aware of that. Is that accurate, Will Bowen?
You've got it. Absolutely, yes.
And this can change our lives. And why did you choose 21 days for the bracelet?
You know, there has been an ongoing, I wouldn't call it an urban legend, but just a general consensus in the psychological community that if you can go 21 days doing the same new habit over and over again, it burns that into your mind, into your brain, until it becomes habitual. And it takes most people, we say 21 days is the idea, but you've got to do it at 21 consecutive days. You've got to not complain for 21 days. And that can take 4 to 8 months on average. That's what it takes. So if you've gone 8 months of your life being very careful not to speak anything negatively, and even though you slip up and you're switching your bracelet and everything, you become a brand new person. And it changes you forever.
Will Bowen, could you tell us, how do we get in touch with you if we'd like to get a bracelet, a complaint-free bracelet?
Sure. The website for the complaint-free bracelets, and to find out more information about a complaint-free world, we've got programs that you can download for free for your organization, for your school, for your church, because we're a nonprofit, is acomplaintfreeworld.org. That's acomplaintfreeworld.org.
And if we want to have you as a speaker in our organization, where do we get in touch with you?
My website is willbowen.com, W-I-L-L-B-O-W-E-N www.thecomplaintfreeworld.com.
Well, I want to thank you so much, Will Bowen, author of A Complaint-Free World, How to Stop Complaining and Start Enjoying the Life You've Always Wanted, for helping us to take charge of our lives by seeing that we each have the ability to create the life we want by refraining from complaining and canceling our negative thoughts about our partner, our family, or our job, or our schoolmates. Thank you for helping us to see that we have the possibility of developing a complaint-free world and to create instead a life with better health, happier relationships, greater career success, and a generous increase in happiness. Thank you again for listening. Thank you, Neil Heaver, producer. See you all on the radio next Monday evening at 6:30 p.m. when I again invite you to take charge of your life on WDIY.